We are going to have Jennifer, how do you pronounce your last name? Magnbasco, who is currently the co-principal investigator and project director at the Center for Implementation Research and Practice Support, Department of Veterans Affairs in North Hills, California, and evaluator at the California Institute of Mental Health. Research professor at Soyan University of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Los Angeles, an Action Board member, Mental Health Section, and former Governor Council. She is also a Research Interest Group Chair of ACMAJ. Please.
Good afternoon, or almost evening, I should say. Okay, I have no disclosures. And first I'd like to acknowledge the Department of Veteran Affairs for supporting this pilot research, and also thanks to the Department of Veteran Affairs in the greater Los Angeles area for the nursing staff participation and coordination, as well as acknowledging our team of researchers, Mary Ellen Delafield, who's in the San Diego VA, as well as Ann Kelly. So today I'm going to take you quickly through, because I know we've lost a little bit of time, results from a pilot project that we're doing that is geared to describe nurses' perceptions of factors that are associated with facilitators and barriers in providing pressure ulcer prevention care in nursing home community living centers in the Department of Veterans Affairs. So our nursing home centers are referred to as community living centers. So I may just, you know, for ease of language, refer to them as CLCs. And then just to start with a definition, and let me just ask, since we have a smaller group here, does everybody know what pressure ulcers are? Yeah, okay. Well, I will skip that slide then. All right. So as many of you, I'm sure, know, pressure ulcer incidence and prevalence are used as global markers of quality of care, and evidence-based practice guidelines are widely disseminated regarding that kind of care. However, we do have, a lack of research that really takes a look at the factors that are associated with effective and sustainable care, and also, just in practice, the implementation and sustainability of pressure ulcer practices can be difficult to achieve. So consequently, the Department of Veteran Affairs has embarked on a pressure ulcer initiative, and this is a new initiative, to help to better understand care processes, kind of break down that black box of care processes, and, you know, gear this work towards implementing more comprehensive evidence-based procedures and processes so that assessment and prevention of pressure ulcers in all clinical settings can be achieved. So we did a small key informant interview study, and our main source of information was a 45 to 60 minute interview protocol. We ended up with 30 semi-structured questions, both open and closed-ended, which were informed by pressure ulcer research and guidelines, implementation science, a variety of theories, and also our own professional experiences delivering care and studying care. And similar to Susan's presentation, we also were interested in three domains of interest: perceptions and feelings about providing this type of care, practices and performance related to PUP care. So our sampling was purposeful. It was a convenient sampling of three nursing types: RNs, LVNs, and nursing assistants. We did use two operated CLCs by the VA in Southern California, and we were doing qualitative studies, so of course our data analysis followed a content thematic analysis. We did do a little bit of descriptive statistics. We did have some questions that we could calculate mean scores for, and we did look at analyses from both the provider and the organizational perspective. Our sample characteristics, we had 16 participants, three nursing types. Most of the participants were female, middle-aged, averaged about 50 years old. We did have an ethnically diverse group, which was important to us, both white and non-white participants. Most folks were stably employed at the VA. Most were experienced in nursing, an average of 16 years in the field, and we did interview mostly day shift participants. It was kind of difficult to get those night shift participants because they were zooming out the door after working to either, you know, pick up kids or, you know, actually deal with some of their parent issues. Okay, so I'm going to take you through some of the analyses here through those three domains that we were interested in. And the first domain is regarding perceptions and feelings about delivering pressure ulcer prevention care. So actually, interest in providing this type of care was high. The score on that closed-ended question was 7.85 out of 10, where 10 is the, you know, highest level of interest that one could have. I wanted to give you a little information on some of these slides about some of the you know, actual things people said about some of the questions we asked. And one of the things that really stands out across all domains is that you know, nurses really feel that this kind of care is interesting because they feel it's very important to veterans' health and that they actually are doing something to help with problems. They really wanted to be in there solving health problems. This kind of care is not interesting if they really weren't getting any feedback or had any real, you know, quality interaction with veterans about pressure ulcers. And actually, most of them were wanting more education about this type of care, and they thought that would actually have a direct correlation with their interest. With regards to priorities and impact in terms of delivering the care, they did consider that pressure ulcer care is a high priority for them, given all their other nursing responsibilities. They thought that delivering this kind of care was effective in order to prevent, you know, this type of you know, lesion to develop. And they did feel that delivering pressure ulcer care had a very high impact on the veteran's quality of life. You know, what was another really important part of just talking with nurses in general through all three domains was that they really wanted veterans and families to participate more in the care. They wanted them to actually help them do it on site. They wanted to talk with them more about how to do assessments and, you know, how to actually, you know, do things at home to actually help prevent pressure ulcers at home. They wanted to play an educational role. They wanted them to give them feedback on the care they actually saw them delivering. And of course, they would like to be complimented. Now we're moving into the second domain that we were interested in that has to do with the actual practices of care. And there are certain care components that are associated with delivering pressure ulcer care. And the first two on this slide have to do with skin inspection and hygiene and bathing. And, you know, the nurses were pretty consistent across the board. You know, when we asked them, you know, are there differences between delivering care to all veterans versus those who are at high risk of, you know, pressure ulcers, it was difficult to get them to distinguish, you know, what was really more important to do for those at high risk. We really had to probe down because they really wanted to provide consistent care no matter who the resident was. So with regards to skin inspection, one of the things that high-risk veterans would receive was that their skin was being checked more thoroughly for these kinds of lesions and that care was provided more slowly. With regards to hygiene and bathing, one of the things that was really necessary was to coordinate care with other rehab staff or other nurses, and really they were very keen on wanting to make sure that the hygiene was provided at the very high level, so they were willing to do whatever was needed to help get the bathing needs completed. With regards to mealtime assistance and assistance with toileting, same things applied. You know, for high-risk veterans, you know, they really took great care to make sure that their food was edible, meaning they'd cut it. They made sure the containers were open so that they could feed themselves if possible. But they sat there and they actually fed residents directly if needed, and took a lot of time to make sure that people really got the right kind of nutrition that they needed. Same thing with assistance with toileting, you know, doing lots of things for all veterans, but making sure that the high-risk veterans were more frequently washed and changed and prevented from sitting in urine. All of the you know, nurses were, no matter what the level, were very keen about checking for that on a very regular basis. The last care component, general component of providing this kind of care has to do with maintaining mobility. And for the high-risk veterans, one of the most important things was really communicating very clearly about mobility. I just got the 5-minute mark, so I'll keep going quickly here. And the other thing was that throughout the facilities, high-risk veterans really needed a lot of help, you know, moving into the TV room or moving in between different types of chairs. And so they were really working together as a team, all the different types of nurses, to make sure that the high-risk veterans weren't just sitting in their room, but they were actually able to move throughout the facility. Okay. I'm going to just go kind of quickly over the assessment factors, just to say that that inspecting skin for lesions was really not a difficult thing for the nurses to do. But the interesting thing is that inspection often occurred with other types of nurses together. So it was kind of a collaborative effort. And the other collaboration factor was that, you know, talking with the veterans was really important, and that the veterans had good communication with them about whether or not they were delivering a lesion. The other thing about assessment was that, and this is where some of our future work is going to head, is that only about 50% were checking in the patient charts for whether or not standardized indicators, such as the Braden scale score, was actually being looked at to deliver care. A lot of what was going on within the care process black box was a lot of communication between nurses, as opposed to really looking at medical charts and looking at things that were written down. Okay, I'm going to skip over that. In terms of performance, that's the third category. Of course, you know, nurses were receiving praise, and you know, that kind of had a separate, I guess you'd say, factor for them with regards to their motivation. They had an intrinsic feeling that they were being very effective in actually helping deal with this type of issue for veterans. While, you know, they thought that some of their, you know, motivation in general could, you know, feel better if they were receiving influence from other team members or supervisors, really, again, this intrinsic motivation that they were really motivated by their commitment to actually provide good care to veterans was really an interesting theme that came out with every single respondent. I'm going to skip over education and equipment and just go to the top three ranked factors that were ranked by the respondents to say, what are the top three things that you think are you know, associated with your unit's success in preventing lesions? And they said teamwork, communication, and commitment to veterans. The factors that were least important were peer pressure, you know, to do better, and also just, you know, hearing anything about performance reports in a formal kind of way. Let's skip over the limitations. I have 2 minutes just to say that, you know, we did, of course, have a small sample, so generalizability may not be high, but that we're working on, you know, future grants to expand this kind of work. We did identify, of course, you know, through all this thematic analysis, certain factors that can be considered facilitators. So things such as, you know, they did consider this kind of care a high priority. They felt it was, you know, definitely contributory to veterans' quality of life, that intrinsic motivation, teamwork, communication, and commitment to veterans were important for, you know, successful implementation, direct communication between nurses and with veterans. Also, you know, their definite, very targeted focus on those high-risk patients. They were very keen about saying, you know, we know which ones are going to be more high at risk, and we're on it. And again, also the interaction there between veterans, family members, staff, it was something that really came out as something that was needed to continue to have this kind of success. Okay, one of the things that, you know, I just mentioned briefly when I talked about the Braden score was that nurses aren't really using formal terms or language that might be explicitly associated with evidence-based practice guidelines, but they're able to really informally describe what's going on. So we really want to head in our next research study to get at, you know, some of those other more explicit components of evidence-based care. How can we pull that out of some of the ways that the nurses are really talking about things or thinking about things? You know, the guidelines in the VA aren't necessarily trickling down in terms of formal ways people talk about it, but they are getting into care, and we want to find out how that's really happening. So the end all here in terms of implications for practice and research is that if you, even though we had a small sample, we felt that our themes were pretty strong. And if you want to enhance a work environment that, you know, really helps to promote evidence-based pressure ulcer care, you could think about, you know, really enhancing personal responsibility and accountability within the unit, regular unit team building activities, you know, working on the relationship between formal and informal communication activities regarding evidence-based care, increasing trainings that actually integrate formal guideline information with clinical experiences, regularly recognizing staff performance, and again, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, working on kinds of activities that integrate, you know, staff, veterans, and families to actually deliver the kind of care that's needed. So as I mentioned, you know, we are going to be engaging in more research to actually eke out, you know, how those formal aspects of evidence-based care are being learned, used in practice, and measured, and we look forward to, you know, hopefully being able to share that work with you in the future.